Hello everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Today I wanted to do something a little different, something a little more lighthearted, sort of just for fun, sort of maybe even a distraction episode. So if you're having like a hard time right now or you need something to listen to while you're doing anything, I guess this could be for you. So I wanted to talk about some questions that people with adametophobia would have for someone that does. So this can be questions, this is going to be questions I've either heard before from other people, or some questions that I assumed they would ask that I would ask a person with adametophobia if I didn't have it. So yeah, just a lighthearted one today, just for a bit of fun, that's all. Yeah. So question number one, why are you so scared of throwing up? Everybody hates it, but it's not that bad. So for a lot of us, it's not so much about the act itself, it's more about the control factor. A lot of us have issues with control, whether that stems from it could stem from anything. It's too much to go into. But it's a lot about control. And for me especially, I know that. And I know for a lot of other people, I can't comment for everybody, but most of the time it is a control thing. It's also, there is a level of disgust, which is, you know, pretty obvious. Like, no one likes it, obviously. Very common thing we always hear. But yeah, it's pretty disturbing. There's also the fear of it not stopping, I've heard people talk about. For me personally, it's actually the nausea that gets me the most. I'm not afraid of the act itself. I'd be fine with just the act itself, but the nausea leading up to that is the part that I fear the most. And I assume a lot of other people will probably feel that way as well, because nausea sucks. No one likes being nauseous. Like, you get, feel so like gross that you can't move or take a step or drink water and you go all pale, and just it's just horrible, man. It's a horrible feeling. But like, it does stem a lot deeper than just being disgusting or just a control thing. Like, there is a lot of roots in it. So yeah. All right, question number two. Did you always have adametophobia, or did something trigger it? So for a lot of us, from what I've seen, it's something that we are sort of almost born with. I like to think of that for myself. I was always pretty predisposed to an anxious lifestyle when I was young, and I did develop a lot of anxiety when I was about 9 years old. At the time, didn't know what it was, blah blah blah, long story short. But I always had the symptoms and the signs of adametophobia, and looking back on my life from an adult's and educated's perspective on this phobia, I can see that I did have it. It didn't sort of show itself for a long time. It did in very small hints. I was always pretty afraid of it, but I never knew why, and I was pretty young, so it was just like whatever. And I didn't have any tools at my disposal to like sort of stop it, so it was just something that happened, you know. And I remember hiding it a lot from family members, so no one ever knew that I was sick if I was, because I thought I needed to hide it. I don't know why. I think it might be like a health anxiety thing. Like my sister was pretty sick when I was young, and she would always have to go to the hospital a lot. Every time she got sick, especially, it was a pretty panicky thing. The whole family would sort of go in a bit of a tornado. It would be like a real bad situation if she was sick in, you know, that way. So I think I might have got it from there, but I don't really know. I think, yeah, for a lot of us, we are sort of almost born with it, and it's something that develops really early on, but may not come through the surface until later on in life. All right, question number three. Does your fear make you avoid certain places or foods? And absolutely, yes. I know, for instance, for example, if a restaurant would open, I would wait a couple months before I go try there. Like, a lot of people will be excited to go opening night, a couple weeks after it's open, but I'll be waiting because I want to see those reviews. You know, I have this curiosity and this sort of OCD thing where I need to check those reviews before I go there. Like, I feel like a lot of people do that as well. We also tend to avoid like clubs, bars, anything that can sort of cause any type of anxiety or give us the opportunity to be sick, which unfortunately is a lot of places outside our comfort zone. But you know, a lot of us are pretty good with it. We will tend to be able to stick through things like this, and we will get more comfortable with them over time, but it just depends on the exposure and where we are with our phobia. But yeah, we do definitely avoid certain foods and certain places, especially fast food as well. That's another thing a lot of us avoid. It definitely gives us like a lot of bloating and reflux, and it's just not a great time. I still eat it, and I regret it every time I do it, but probably going to continue doing that. So yeah. All right, next question. How do you handle being around drunk people or kids, since they throw up a lot? So for me, I don't have that much experience with drunk people or children, which is kind of good. I know in when I was in school, at least, it was pretty pretty scary a lot of the time because like a lot of kids around me were sick, and I didn't know what I was really afraid of at the time, but I knew I was afraid of something, and it would always give me like a massive like sort of panic attack sort of thing. And I'd always freak out, but thankfully that ended, obviously when school ended. But drunk people, usually I'm pretty good around drunk people because I know what the reason is why they're sick. I know they're probably going to be sick. I usually refuse to take them anywhere, just because I'm like, unless I'm using your car, like I'm not having you throwing up in my back seat. So I had that happen recently with a not recently, like maybe a year ago now, but I had it happen with a friend. I picked them up, and we have like a sense for this type of thing. Like I looked at them about 10 minutes before anything happened. I knew before they knew that they were a bit too far gone. It was a really scary experience. Like I had to pull over really fast. It was horrible. But like I still drove them home. Like obviously I wanted to get my friend home safe. I wasn't gonna leave him there, you know, like that. But I definitely wanted to. But like a lot of us, yeah, we tend to be pretty caring. Like we will try to do our best to look after those around us who are maybe a bit too drunk, but it definitely makes it hard with a phobia like this, and it's good to have an understanding that we are trying our best. So yeah, next one. Have you ever actually been sick, or is it just a fear of it happening? So that's a rough one. That's a tough one to answer. A lot of us, it's about 50-50, I'd say. A lot of us have had experience throwing up in the past. A lot of us have come close to it, like very close to it. And we also probably haven't done it in like, I don't know, 5+ years, most of the time. At least for me, it's been a couple years now. I've had pretty much the whole cycle of it happening without it actually happening. Like I've had the intense nausea, I've had the gagging, I've had the sweats, I've had everything besides the actual act of it for a couple years now. So it's been pretty traumatic when that sort of stuff happens. But I know for myself, once it's like once I've sat with that nausea and those feelings for a while, like I sort of just want it to be over, and I kind of get over my anxiety, it'll end, and then I'll just be waiting. But it's so frustrating when it doesn't happen, because you finally like you summon all the strength you have to deal with this thing, and it doesn't actually happen. It's a little disappointing. But at the end of the day, like most of us, pretty much all of us have been sick in our life at least one point, and we all have definitely come very close to it during our journey with our phobia. It's a pretty terrifying thing. It can really feel like a massive setback, but just know that it does happen sometimes, and it doesn't define your progress. So yeah. All right, now, what does a panic attack feel like within this phobia? A normal panic attack, I guess. For me, at least, I've never really had a panic attack that hasn't had something to do with emetophobia, so I don't know, but I'm going to assume that it feels this like very similar. For me, it's like it starts as sort of a the breathing. My breathing will get shallower. I won't be able to take as many deep breaths. My heart will start racing. I'll start feeling either really hot or really cold. It sort of fluctuates which one it is. I start to not be able to think clearly. My vision will sort of be a bit tunnely, just a touch. Nothing too bad with the vision, but it definitely gets a little iffy. My legs start to feel like jelly, but like also I could run 1,000 miles without fucking any breaks. And the intense heat waves of like nausea, like it's like heat going through your like from your chest to your stomach, or vice versa. For me, it's a really bad sort of symptom of the panic attacks, and it happens like multiple times. You sort of have the waves of it. Like I'm pretty sure everyone would know the waves of like the panic and the nausea that you would get. It's an awful, awful fucking feeling. But like with any sort of panic attack, with the right sort of coping strategies and a lot of practice, you can minimize the effects and the symptoms of that. Takes a lot of effort though, and sometimes you just lose a bit of control, and sometimes it just happens. It's just what it is. They generally don't last too long. While panic attacks themselves last about 10 minutes, the symptoms can last a few hours. So just remember that if you are having a panic attack, the symptoms are going to be probably sticking around a little longer. Nothing to worry about, and you may feel a little bit weird afterwards, but it's okay though. Like it happens, it's normal to feel that way. For me especially, sometimes it takes me a whole day to sort of get back to normal, but you sort of get used to it, as sort of sad as that is. All right, moving on to the next one is, does therapy or exposure therapy actually help? Yes to both. Exposure therapy is sort of proven to be one of the most effective things for a phobia like this. Doing it through a therapist, counselor, whatever it is the best way to do it. You can do exposure therapy on your own. You do have to have sort of the willpower, the dedication to do it. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be, it's going to probably set off some panic attacks. It's not going to be a fun time, and it's going to take months. But each exposure, you get closer to the goal of not being so afraid. Is it going to solve all your problems? Probably not. But it will put you in a place where you are a lot more comfortable with something that no one really can be comfortable with. It's sort of difficult in that way, specifically for this phobia, because no one likes to be sick. So, but therapy especially, it's good to get a lot of things off your chest just in general, but it helps me a lot with the phobia. I always use the drop-in services, and I speak to my therapist once a fortnight, once every month, depends how booked. But I find it helps a lot. I haven't had any bad experiences yet. I actually feel really good after I get all that sort of stuff off my chest. It's just good to sort of unload, and it gives me some sort of healthier coping strategies and some insight into things that I may not have had before. So, yeah. All right, next is, how can I support someone with emetophobia? So if you know someone with emetophobia, or a close family member, partner, friend, the best way you can support them is don't say something, first of all, like, oh, you know, I don't like being sick either. No one likes it. Like, don't assume it's just about not liking. For us, it's very deep. It's on a very, very much deeper level than just not liking it, because no one likes it, truth be told. Also, being patient with us is something that really helps. Like, we do need a lot of patience, especially when we're on our like proper healing journey. We will have setbacks. We will have days where we want to give up, like any other healing process from something like this. We'll have really hard days. We'll have really good days. Some days we might be able to do things with you. Some days we might not be able to. It's hard for us to go far away from home. It's hard for us to leave home sometimes, just in general. So you might not understand that, why it would be difficult, but just trusting that we are trying our hardest and these things are very real to us is probably the best way you can support us. And also probably maybe not trying to put us in positions where we, you know, maybe exposed to things like that, if we really aren't sort of ready for it. If you know that, like, we're going to a party and someone, like, for instance, probably a bad example, but if, like, we're going to, like, a party or something and there's someone there that you know is just going to get sick by the end of the night and we are going to see that, maybe either let us know, give us a heads up, or, I don't know, don't bring us, I guess. But it's definitely just best to ask us questions, let us express ourselves, just be supportive. I know it can be difficult to support someone that has this phobia. On the other end, it's very hard to understand these things. It's very hard to sort of just go along with the flow, you know, the really inconsistent sort of ways we are in friendships and relationships. But yeah, just patience is the biggest one for sure. For me, definitely patience is. All right, last one is, does this phobia affect your daily life in ways people wouldn't expect? Yes, it does. So for example, a lot of us have or have had issues with doing things like basic things like I know I get a little claustrophobic when I'm sort of in a metaphobic mood, like I'm a little bit anxious, something I ate is just not sitting right, I just feel a little bit sick but not too bad. Like going to the toilet and being stuck in that little box room, or like having a shower, or just even going outside, just anywhere that's not your exact comfortable position is hard when you're in a certain way. Standing in lines, places like supermarkets, or like at a, I don't know, getting your license renewed or whatever the fuck, I don't know, but like standing in lines is hard. It makes going to bars and clubs hard. It makes having like a social life hard in general. Makes just a basic thing that everybody does, going to lunch with your friends or family. That's really hard for us. It's really hard for us to do that, because we don't know who's cooking that. We don't know what it is. You know, we never know fully if we didn't get to like be back there and watch them. So like, we don't know, you know, there's a lot of unknown with it. Riding in cars with people, not being the driver, public transport. I could go on forever. Like, it makes a lot of weird things difficult, or things that people might see as weird to do. But you know, a lot of us get by. We have our coping skills, we have our strategies to keep calm, we have our ways we do keep calm, we have a lot of things helping us, and we have usually have a lot of really good support. I think The emetophobic community is probably one of the most supportive communities I've ever seen, because we all know what it's like to be in a panic and think that it's over, it's game over. Usually if you need the help and you ask for it, you will receive it. So I'm very thankful to be a part of a really supportive community rather than a not so supportive one. But yeah, I hope this was a decent distraction for you. I hope you maybe learned something. I hope if you don't have emetophobia and you somehow found this, it gave you a little better understanding. I may do a part two for this, so if you have any questions that you think would fit this sort of thing, leave them in the comments, hit me up on my socials, I don't know, do whatever you want. Leave a rating or a review if you feel like you enjoyed this, or don't if you didn't. Do whatever you want. But until then, I hope you're having a good day or a good night. I hope your emetophobia journey is going well, and I will see you in the next episode. See ya.